Southern comfort, comfort food, too close for comfort, comfort station, creature comforts, comfort zone. Being comfortable is a sense of physical or psychological ease. We often characterize it as a lack of hardship. Persons who are lacking in comfort are said to be uncomfortable or experiencing discomfort. We can achieve psychological comfort by recreating experiences associated with pleasant memories, engaging in family activities, surrounding ourselves with familiar objects, and consuming our favorite comfort food. Comfort is a particular concern in healthcare, providing comfort to the sick and injured. And when we surround ourselves with things that provide psychological comfort, we usually say we are in our comfort zone. But when we use the word comfort as a verb, we generally imply that the subject is in a state of pain, suffering, or affliction, and requires alleviation from that state. The prophet Isaiah, in the Old Testament reading today, uses the word comfort as a verb. Comfort. Give comfort to my people, says your God. Isaiah's prophecy is from the Book of Consolation. The prophet is sent by God to announce to a broken people that their long night of exile at the hands of the Babylonians is at an end, and they will soon begin the journey home and the hard work of rebuilding their nation, but also restoring their covenant with God. Isaiah paints images of clearing the way for the Lord that require work. Obstacles must be removed and paths made straight and clear. Yet his message is one of comfort and reassurance to a completely demoralized people. On Tuesday of last week, I returned from a mission trip to Haiti. I and four parishioners and two from Mary Queen of Peace in Mandeville traveled there to participate in the dedication of St. Francois Xavier Chapel in Gilles, located on a high mountain in a truly picturesque site. But I was uncomfortable in Haiti, not because of the hospitality and accommodations offered to us. I was uncomfortable with the socio-economic and cultural environment I witnessed there. I was uneasy with the injustice, inequality, poverty, and illiteracy I saw. Judging by our American standards, the people of Gilles, Haiti, are living in a physical and psychological state of discomfort. They live among the mountains with rocky roads, makeshift homes with dirt floors, no electricity or running water, and poor hygiene. In spite of that, they are comfortable, believe me, wow, and are able to live with very little creature comforts. However, I was comforted while I was there by the ministry that the Catholic Church, with the guidance of Catholic Relief Services and local parishes like Mary Queen of Peace in Mandeville, St. Dominic in Lakeview, and St. Francis of Assisi, are providing. Through your generosity and prayers, our parish raised $80,000 for the local people of Gilles to rebuild their chapel destroyed by the 2010 earthquake, which had stood on that site since 1889. Their almost 8-year advent of waiting had come to a glorious end and restored hope to a people longing just for a place to worship. This chapel will also become the hub, the center of the community life. Please take home with you one of the flyers at the end of the pew and continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Haiti. The dedication mass, with between 300 to 400 people participating, lasted 3 hours. I will not keep you that long today, although you may already be uncomfortable because you're going to be 15 minutes longer. But the mass all sung in Creole, and an offertory procession with baskets of fruit and vegetables on the women's heads and live chickens in their arms to be shared among the community. In Isaiah's prophecy, we heard, like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. As I processed into that church, I felt like a proud shepherd. Proud of you for your generosity. Proud of the people of Gilles, and very proud of the Catholic Church. My emotions were almost uncontrollable. I could not have been more comfortable during that historic celebration. The U.S. Catholic bishops say, a parish reaching beyond its own members, beyond national boundaries, is truly a Catholic parish. A truly Catholic parish, in the words of Scripture, is willing to build a bigger tent, to stretch out the fabric of their concern, to make room for brothers and sisters that live outside their boundaries. A commitment to mission is to expand our self-identity as parish, to create a little more room in our hearts and consciousness as we come to know people who are from a different culture than our own. And catechumens and candidates, this is the kind of church into which we are initiating you, a universal church. This trip has also given me another lens through which to view new ways of understanding the Scriptures. Today, I have invited Keith Colvin, a member of our delegation, to share with you his experience. Keith, with his wife Karen, are members of our hospitality ministry that welcomes newcomers to our parish. So please welcome Keith.
Thank you very much, and good morning. The story of this project begins in the preparation for our 125th anniversary as a church. The anniversary committee talked about what could be done to commemorate our anniversary. And it was Tom Fisher's suggestion that we reach outside the church rather than do something for ourselves, that we look for someone else outside of our church to help. Father Michael was familiar with the wonderful work being done in Haiti by Mary Queen of Peace in Mandeville, by St. Dominic's, by the Catholic Church there. This is work that's primarily being done in St. Benoit Parish. St. Benoit is located in the southern peninsula of Haiti in a mountainous region, very remote, that's south of one of the towns on the coast there, Miragouin. And wonderful work's been done. The church has been built there, a school has been built, a rectory with guest space, and Mary Queen of Peace and the people there have been very supportive and are very knowledgeable about what's needed in the area. Further discussions with them revealed that there was a community in Gilles, where St. Francis Xavier Church was located, that was in desperate need of a new church. Their church had been destroyed in the earthquake of 2010. Church had been there, founded a year before our church was founded. And for the past 7 or so years, almost 8 years, the people there had been worshiping under tarpaulins with open sides on crude wooden benches with a wooden table for an altar. And yet they still celebrated Mass throughout that entire period. So with the support of Father Michael, it was decided that we would accept this challenge, that we would help build them a church. The Good Samaritan Outreach to Haiti Committee was formed, led by Melissa Ray and by Bobby Moore, and efforts began to solicit donations and raise the money to build this church. Just about a year ago, the news was delivered to Haiti that we had reached our goal, we had raised the money we needed, and work began, construction began on this church. Earlier this year, we learned that the church would be finished in time for a dedication by the bishop on the feast day of St. Francis Xavier, December the 3rd. About 2 months ago, a delegation was formed to attend the dedication with representatives from our church, which included Father Michael, Melissa Ray, Randy Orgodi, and me, and from Mary Queen of Peace, Tony Pastorella, Sister Marina Aranzabal, and our friend Tiki McIntyre. Preparations for the trip included assembling supplies, school supplies, medical supplies, toiletries, tote bags, clothes, enough to fill 14 50-pound duffel bags that we took with us for distribution there. On November 29th, we flew from New Orleans to Miami and then from Miami to Port-au-Prince. From Port-au-Prince, Monsignor, the priest at St. Benoit, met us with a couple of land cruisers, one borrowed from the archdiocese there, and we began the drive 3 hours west to Miragouin, and then another 2 hours south from Miragouin up treacherous, rocky, rough mountain roads to Desu, which is the town where St. Benoit is located and the rectory there. During our stay, we delivered the supplies we brought and passed those out. We visited schools. We visited an orphanage. We attended a baptism for a number of children of all ages. And we visited other churches, like the church in Gilles, still being conducted under very, very primitive circumstances. Finally, the day of the dedication, December 3rd, arrived. The weather was bright and sunny and mild. The bishop arrived. We took the 45-minute drive from Desu to Gilles. And when we got there, many, many people were gathered outside, all dressed in their Sunday best, all excited to be able finally to worship in their new church. Bishop Dumas began the dedication by blessing the doors and ceremoniously opening the doors of the church, and then the procession into the church began with the priest, the deacons, the altar servers, the ladies' choir, our delegation, members of the church, and soon the church was packed. It seats about 350 people, and there was standing room only in the church and many people waiting outside. We were then treated to, and we were warned to expect this, a three-hour dedication mass. And so going into that ceremony, I have to say I felt some trepidation. But it was the most glorious, inspiring, wonderful, joyous, moving experience that I think I've had. During the course of the Mass, 17 songs were sung, all in Creole French, and the entire Mass was in Creole French. And the songs were to African and Caribbean rhythms with a band up front. And although we didn't understand what they were saying, it was impossible not to move with this joyous music. The bishop, the Monsignor, and a local church leader all spoke. And while we didn't understand everything they said, it was impossible to miss the number of times St. Francis of Assisi was mentioned, and our delegation was recognized and thanked. Most memorable to me, though, was the local church leader, the last to speak. He was so joyous that it seemed that he was floating off the ground. His message was loud and clear, and delivered with incredible enthusiasm and passion. And I'm here today to deliver that message to you. What he said was, among many other things that I couldn't understand, merci, merci, merci. Merci, merci. Merci, merci, merci. Merci beaucoup. When I first heard about this project, I thought it would be a great thing to provide these people with a comfortable place to worship. What I learned on this trip was this church is so much more than that. This church brings hope, hope for better education, for better medical care, for more opportunities for young people, for a better life. And having started this work, it's my hope that we will continue to support these wonderful people in this wonderful community. Let's trust in the words of St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. He said, God is able to make every grace abundant for you so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. Amen.
Thank you, Keith.